Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is in Studio X, taking care of all of our extracurricular activities, making sure this ship comes to a complete and total stop in about 53 minutes from now. If you want to reach out to the show, please do so. 601-879-4395. That's the C Spire text line. C Spire, inspired by you. Of course, we are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg, Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau, my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi. Just got a text message here from Michael Borky, who failed to mention that this show was on, much as his predecessor, Richard Cross, liked to do. They got jealous eyes, brother. Jealous, I can't even look at it. It made me sick to my stomach. Unbelievable. A scalawag of the highest order, in my opinion, is one Michael Borky. He will owe me a favor on this one. You know, I don't really want to go too deep down the basketball rabbit hole. I mean, it's been, you know, 5 days since Mississippi State's men's basketball team had their season ended in the first round of the NCAA tournament, Mississippi State losing to Baylor. Women's basketball season has come to an end, losing in the second round to USC. All I want to say about men's basketball is this, and we'll stay focused on the women. I think are in fine shape. They're fine. I'm really messing that up. I'm not worried about the men either. That program's fine. But there was an article recently. We've talked about it a few times on Sports Talk from On3 Sports, from Jamie Shaw, who we've had on the program before, talking about expect Mississippi State to be a big player in the NIL markets this year. That, you know, State was a team that was spending close to, you know, $5 million or so on its roster currently and looking to spend more. They've got a great nucleus to build around with Josh Hubbard and Keyshawn Murphy. Those are two really good pieces. Hubbard, second team All-SEC. Keyshawn Murphy put up great numbers once he got his opportunity. And I think he'll be the starting five for this team next year, and he'll be a guy that State will be counting on to give them between, you know, say 13 and 16 points and 7 to 10 rebounds a game. And I think he's fully capable of it. And I like where they are at the five position with Michael Nwoko. I think Nwoko has a high ceiling. I think he can be a guy who, with another offseason here in Starkville, can be a real player for me. I think State can be a good team down low next year, which they weren't really this year. You got to replace a lot, though. You got to find some things. You're not really replacing a point guard. You didn't really have one. You know, once Kanye Clary made it clear he wasn't coming back to the team, you know, Josh Hubbard had to run that show, and Cam Matthews and Riley Kugel, and he didn't have a true point guard. So that's going to be priority one. And when I say true point guard, we're not talking about, you know, like a John Stockton type, a Isaiah Thomas type. We're talking about a guy, a bigger guard that's capable of running the point. A guy who can, you know, allow Josh Hubbard to do the things that make Josh Hubbard a special player. Find open spots on the floor. Run through screens. Be active. You can't run the offense through Hubbard and expect Hubbard to run the offense. I said that a lot this season, and I think it holds true. They got to go find a couple of spacers at the forward positions. They need some defensive guys, but they need guys who can also hit the three more consistently. Melendez, Kugel, Harris, they just didn't have the consistency in their shot. The issue for me is this. If I have an issue, it's this. Is that I feel like Jans last year, his evaluations weren't great in the portal. Harris and Melendez and Kugel did not perform at the level I think anybody was expecting them to. And I think that you go back a year and You know, Andrew Taylor, what happened there?
Yeah.
There have been some missed evaluations in the portal, so State's got to tighten that up a little bit. I think they're fully capable of doing it. Jans is a good coach. He's a good evaluator of talent. He'll be fine. But it does, you know, there's a reason to have some pause when you're talking about that, because he hasn't. He's 2 years in a row now where there have been some misses in the portal. And so State needs to fix those things. They can't afford to be leaky there next season. Somebody asked, can Delquan not be point guard one? I don't think so. I didn't see enough from him to not go and get a point guard in this portal. I did not see that at all. And honestly, if Kanye Clary doesn't leave the team, you probably don't see much of Delquan Warren at all. So no, I would not go into next season with Delquan Warren penciled in as my point guard. I would absolutely go to the portal and try to upgrade there. You still think Hubbard will be there next year? Where's he going to go? He's not going to the NBA. The State's going to make sure that financially he's not going to get a better deal than Mississippi State. Yeah, Hubbard will be in Starkville for the next 2 seasons. He's not going anywhere. I'm not too terribly worried about that. I don't think Hubbard's going to the portal. He didn't go to the portal this past season. Why would State will make sure he stays. They'll make sure he gets the best offer, and I think he's quite happy in Starkville. Why wouldn't he be? He's the top dog. He's the alpha there. The team's going to build around him. Now, I have zero worries. Now, can I be wrong? Obviously. Things change all the time. But there is no reason, if you're a Mississippi State fan and you're fretting about Josh Hubbard, you need to stop. You don't need to be. You're poor old State in that one. Hubbard's not going anywhere. I have zero concerns. And, you know, a lot of people were like, well, is Jans going to leave? And then the Iowa job got filled, and he was never even mentioned as a candidate outside of some early articles who just went with, well, he's from Iowa. So, all right, guys, we're going to do something a little different here. And Rhino, if we have an issue, you're going to have to just text me. I got new glasses today, and they're just a little too tight, so I'm taking the headset off. I don't have to listen to anybody, but Rhino, if you need something from me, you let me know, okay?
Gotcha.
There we go. My head is killing me. I'm going to have to go get those untightened. Just a little too much on there. So we'll get all that figured out. Let's get back to basketball. I think you want Keyshawn at the five, so you need a four who can stretch the floor a little bit. State did not have that this year. When you look at having Cam Matthews out there, that's not a guy who can stretch the floor. That's not a guy that teams are going to respect his three-point shot. So you got to have a guy out there as a four who can bang down low and get some rebounds for you, but at the same time can shoot the three at a respectable clip. And I'm not talking about somebody who's a 38, 39, 40%. I'm just, you know, somebody who can shoot 33, 34%. Somebody who can make one out of every 3 3-pointers they take is a dangerous and valuable weapon for Mississippi State. So they need to figure that one out. When Jans got here, if you recall his first ever press conference, he talked about that. He talked about, you know, it's not about building a program, it's about building a team. And then if you just have good teams year after year, that's your program. Mississippi State becomes a good basketball program by having a good team year in and year out. It's not so much about having the same players. Now, that being said, I don't know that you can go in and replace 4 and 5 guys every time. So having Hubbard and Murphy and Nwoko back, and to a lesser extent Warren, Sean Jones will be another guy who gets minutes next year. Too valuable defensively, can give you some points here or there. He's not a liability. So, you know, you don't want him to be your fifth guy, but if Sean Jones is your eighth guy, you're fine. That's a great spot for him. Coming in, giving you some minutes at the 2 and the 3. I like where this basketball program is. Somebody says, Hubbard, one more year tops. Professional is an alluring word. What profession? Hubbard is a 5'10" guard. Those guys don't exist in the NBA. He's not a Steph Curry elite shooter. He's a great shooter, but not. He's not going to the NBA. He's physically not big enough to play in the NBA. People are getting on Bronny James about being 6'2", being in the NBA, not a point guard. Hubbard is a 5'10", non-point guard. That position does not exist in the NBA. It does not. I'm not worried about it. If you tell me Hubbard's leaving, he's going to the portal. He's not going to the NBA. That's not the issue. He would go undrafted. As great a shooter as he is. Love Josh Hubbard. So, oh ye of little faith, watch a game. Watch an NBA game. Point me out a 5'10" shooting guard in the NBA today. They don't exist. They don't exist. Josh Hubbard will be a great college player for the next 2 years. And maybe he can play overseas, but no. No, we're not having that discussion. So, all right, let's switch it to baseball. Does Muggsy Bogues still play? No, he doesn't. And that was 30 years ago, so no. When we switch gears to baseball, what is this team? Are they going to make the postseason? I'm going to explain my thoughts on that. We're going to have to do some math. I'm not a big fan of that, but we'll get to it when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
All right, we got the headset back on. Went out to the car, got my old glasses, and I'll go see my optometrist tomorrow and be like, hey, can you just a little? I got a big dome. Need more space. It's Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. The good folks in the city of Vicksburg want to let you know that one of the great traditions in Vicksburg is Gold in the Hills. It's been playing at the Parkside Playhouse for as long as I can remember. It's always been playing. It's a great family event. If you want to go check it out, you can go to it at the Parkside Playhouse. It is the Guinness Book of World Records longest running show. So there you go. Yeah. Tickets are $12 for adults, $6 for children. For more information, call 601-636-0471. That number is one digit off one of my good friend's phone number back in the day. I wonder if he ever got calls asking for showtimes for Golden Hills. I don't know. Can people bring up Spud Webb? Two things. He retired in 1998. Technically, he was a point guard. He was an actual point guard. If Hubbard was a point guard at 5'10", it'd be one thing. He's not. He's not a point guard. You're asking him to play the two. Like, who's the shortest starting shooting guard in the NBA right now? It's got to be Steph. But how tall is Steph Curry? Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, no, not an issue. Not an issue. All right, let's talk some baseball. Here are the numbers that you need to know. State's currently 1-5 in the conference. All right, so if you want to talk about State hosting, I personally think that ship has sailed. But if you want to stay on board and think they could still do it, you need a minimum of 17 wins. You probably need 18. You had 17 last year and didn't get it. Now, you do have to take into account that last year you had some really bad non-conference losses, and this year you don't. You don't have any bad non-conference losses. So maybe 17's enough. So that means you've got to go 16-8 the rest of the way. In other words, you've got 8 series remaining. You need to win them all. If you win all of them 2-1, sure, you could host then. If you lose the series, you're going to have to sweep somebody to make it up. I mean, let's just be honest. That seems unlikely. It seems unlikely that State's going to win all of its remaining series or go 16-8 in the remaining 24 conference games. Oh, and by the way, you probably don't need to lose any more non-conference games. Maybe you could get away with losing the Governor's Cup to Ole Miss because that's not an RPI killer. But the rest of those games, you cannot lose any of them. So that's hosting. Just getting into the tournament, State's RPI is currently at 53, right? You got to get up probably 25-plus slots to be confident that you're in the tournament, you're in the field of 64. The SEC's RPI, the SEC's strength of schedule will help with that. But you still have to win games. Now, last year, I think they said five, I think I saw it right, five teams got in with 13 or fewer wins in the SEC. I don't know if State could do that this year just because of the nature of the fact that they don't have a lot of good wins. I mentioned they don't have any bad losses. That is true. They don't have any good wins. Their best win right now, they have one win at Oklahoma, and they have one win against Southern Mississippi at home. Those are their best two wins of the year. They don't have anything else. There's literally not another a win on the schedule where you can point to it and go, that's a good win for Mississippi State. That is the end. So let's say they have to win 14 games to go to the NCAA tournament. Everybody goes to the SEC tournament this year. Well, that means you got to go 13-11 the rest of the way. Two games over 500. That is at least on paper, with what I know about this team, doable. I wouldn't say it's probable, but it's certainly doable. The question becomes, and this is the question Mississippi State fans are asking a lot, is that enough? Is just going to the tournament enough? I think I've been pretty obvious about it. Like, I don't think that's enough. I think that Mississippi State baseball should be in the discussion to host, and certainly should not go 4 years between hosting in the NCAA tournament. And that's how long it would have been. They won a national title. They hosted in 2021, hosted a regional and a super regional, won the national title. Since then, there's not been a single postseason baseball game played at Diddy Noble Field, and it seems highly unlikely that there will be this year. Is that acceptable? If you say that it is, then we have to have a discussion on, okay, well, then is Mississippi State, in your mind, an elite program? Because if you say that it is, well, then we're kind of going back and forth here, right? You can't say you're an elite program and then say, well, I don't expect to host that often. Those two things don't exist. They're mutually exclusive. This team has played 11 good teams so far, and they are 2-9 against them. That is accurate. There is no getting around the math of that. You're correct. Hasn't State won the last two series against LSU? They've actually won three of the last four, surprisingly enough. State won in 21 en route to the national title. They lost the series in 22. They got swept in Starkville. 2 years ago, when LSU won the national title, State somehow took that series. They lost to Skeens on Friday night, but then came back and won the Saturday and Sunday games. And then last year, against LSU, who was number two in the nation when they came to Starkville, State took two out of three and run-ruled LSU on Sunday. They've had some recent success against the Tigers. We should be set for an outstanding pitching matchup, assuming they let both guys go the same day. Now, when we talked to Chris Lemonis on Monday, he talked about with Pico Khan, maybe you hold him just to keep him on his regular Friday schedule because this is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. And I don't know what LSU's plans are as well. But if we get Pico Khan versus Kate Anderson, the numbers are just, they're really good for both of these guys. And when you look at them, Anderson for LSU is 5-0 on the season. He's thrown 34 innings. He's only given up 25 hits. Teams are only hitting .205 against him. His ERA is 2.65. His WHIP is 0.97. He's 56-8 strikeouts to walks, so 7-1. Pico's numbers somehow are a little better. He's 4-0 on the season, but his ERA is 2.52 and his WHIP is 0.7. That is incredible. 35 innings pitched, only 18 hits. Teams are only hitting .148 against him. 53 strikeouts to 7 walks. So if we get Khan versus Anderson on Thursday or on Friday, we will get a hell of a pitching matchup. I hope we get to see that. And one of the things that I would state that keeps the postseason thoughts afloat for me is Pico and how well he's pitched. I feel like State has a chance every Friday night to get the win because they have a guy who's going to keep the other team off the board. Look at this past series. What was the score of the Friday game? 2-1. What was the score of the other two games? 13-11 and 7-3. Pico Khan keeps the people off the board. He's pitching at an incredibly high level right now. Current SEC Pitcher of the Week. He also brought home the Ace Bolt and Screw Ace of the Week here on Sports Talk Mississippi earlier this week. Really pitching well. We don't know. Denny and Flowood asking who's pitching on Friday night. State hasn't released the rotation yet, so I don't know. I don't know who's pitching game two yet. Will it be Ben Davis? Jeremy in Columbia. What's up, Hey Dad? Love the show. I thought Ben Davis looked really good coming out of the bullpen last night. He may be better in that role. Who do you think we'll see in Game 2 down in Baton Rouge? I think Stone may get another shot at starting. So Davis coming out of the bullpen last night kind of lets you know that he's probably not going to start for you on Saturday. So maybe putting him back there. Stone is a possibility. I think, you know, for all the grief we've given Carson Ligon, he's been good enough on Sundays. He pitched well enough on Sunday for State to get that game. They lost that game at the plate. Ryan McPherson is a guy could possibly get that Game 2 start. He's been really good for State this year. You know, when we talked to Lemonis back in the fall, he mentioned Mekhi Grant as a potential starter. And he's been pretty good. And, you know, the tools are there with him. So I don't know who that Game 2 starter, that Game Friday night starter is going to be just yet for Mississippi State. State will release its rotation sometime tomorrow. Well, that's a good point. It's a Thursday, Friday. You think they'd have already put it out. Well, my guess is we'll find out tomorrow early afternoon, maybe even early, even late morning, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, because you got to. The SEC always releases an email that has all of the pitching probable, so unless State wants to put out TBD, 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 which I don't think they want to do, I would hope they don't want to do that, then we should know before that email gets to us around, usually it gets to us around 1 o'clock in the afternoon or so. They have all the SEC pitching matchups for the weekend. I was not aware that both teams in Mississippi this week are Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. You got Ole Miss hosting Florida and State at LSU. I love State versus LSU baseball. You know, for me, this is the best rivalry in the SEC for baseball, even more so than State Ole Miss. It's just so much history, so many great players, Polk and Burtman for all those years. You know, LSU obviously with the massive lead in national titles, but State has had so much success against the Tigers through the years. It's a lot of fun. So, if State can find a way to win this series and they're 3-6 when we reconvene on Monday, the possibility exists when we start talking about postseason baseball a little bit more confidently. They're 1-8. God forbid they're 0-9. Well, they won't be. Yeah, they'd be 1-8. If they're 1-8, they can't be 0-9. If they're 1-8, though, it does become sort of a I don't know, because Alabama, Auburn, Ole Miss. Those teams are a lot better than we thought they were going to be in the preseason. It's going to be tough to win those series. It's going to be tough to win games in those series. But we'll see. See what happens. Let's switch to another diamond. Let's talk softball. I talked to Coach Samantha Ricketts earlier this week. Let's get her thoughts on her team off to a historic start. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Alexa devices. Bing. On Super Talk Mississippi.
Back here on Thunder and Lightning. If you're looking for something to do in the great city of Vicksburg this weekend, it's really easy. Just go to the Visit Vicksburg website, visitvicksburg.com, and go to their events calendar. Literally everything happening there. Bands, where they're playing, like I said, live music, anything happening in the city, happening at restaurants, it's all right there on their event calendar, visitvicksburg.com. Mississippi State softball is off to a historic start. 5-1 in the SEC, 27-6 overall. They're leading Southern Mississippi down in Hattiesburg as we speak, 2-1. And they've got a massive series this weekend. The number one team in the country is coming in, Texas. That is also all for Alex weekend. If you're a softball fan, you know what that is. Mississippi State softball player Alex Wilcox, who passed away a few years back due to ovarian cancer. Every team in the conference on Saturday will wear a teal-colored uniform in memory of her and to raise awareness of ovarian cancer. So a very emotional weekend coming up. I got the chance to talk to Mississippi State head softball coach Samantha Ricketts earlier this week, get her thoughts on that, her team, their start that they're on, and where they're headed this upcoming season. Mississippi State softball is off to a great start, a school record start in the SEC, and one game off the pace for the best start in 30 games. What happened, Coach? We can't get one more win. What's the deal, Coach Ricketts?
Yeah, you know, we don't like to do things the easy way. We're always going to make them a little bit more difficult on us. That's just what we do.
Coach Samantha Ricketts joins us here on the podcast right now. And, Coach, like I said, your team's off to a fantastic start. What surprised you about this team thus far in the season?
You know, I just think I think how quickly it kind of all came together. I think you see it in preseason and in the fall that we had a lot of tools and a lot of pieces in place to have a good year. And it's just really kind of how quickly is the team going to mesh and gel and kind of get rolling together. And I think it really was game one, weekend one, and they just came out ready to play. And I just think how quickly it all kind of happened for us is probably what surprised me the most.
And you played a really good Texas team game one, weekend one, a Texas Tech team, I should say. And you know, a game that, you know, against a ranked opponent, and you didn't really, you know, we didn't know exactly what your team was going to be. Leaving that game, did you walk off the field going, oh, wait, we might have something here that maybe we didn't expect?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with that was just the mentality. You know, we knew that we had the talent to compete, but there was just no fear and the competitiveness and the fire to get after it. And it was the entire lineup, the entire dugout, the ones that were on the field and not. And I think that was where it was really kind of a little bit of a moment of, okay, like we might be able to roll with this here. And then we lost game two, but we learned from that.
So I don't know, you know, as much about softball as you, obviously. I don't really know a whole lot about it, but I have to think if you get a hit one out of every two times you come to the plate, you must be a pretty good player. So tell me about Sierra Sacco and what makes her such a consistent hitter.
Yeah, Sierra Sacco is one of the best hitters in the country, and she has just had having a great year. It just continues to get better. And I think a big thing for her, just outside of the just sheer amount of hard work and extra work she puts in, it's just her mentality. And it's just really kind of a professional approach is how I see it, where it takes a lot of, probably your average hitters are going to make adjustments from game to game. You know, I think really good hitters will adjust even at bat to at bat, but the best of the best, like Sierra, can go pitch to pitch, and she can know after how they're setting her up with early in the count, where she's, how she's going to be pitched late in the count and make those at bat adjustments. So it's been really cool just to see her mindset and how she's worked and how she continues to kind of lead into the team with a lot of that as well.
When you have a player like that, that's hitting at that level, as a coach, are you tempted to maybe not coach as much and say, look, what she's doing working is working. Let her play her game.
I mean, I think for a player like her, she wants to be coached. She wants to be pushed and she wants to go into coaching. So I think that's where it's been a huge part of it as well. Like, she's always asking questions and, you know, she wants to know the why, and really a lot of times just for her own knowledge for that she knows she's going to take with her into the coaching field. But no, I mean, she's one that's going to push her teammates. She's going to ask for more, and she's okay if you can get on her at practice, and you know, she wants to be the best, and she's not satisfied, and she gets mad if she loses a practice drill or she gets out in a practice scrimmage, whatever it is. She's going to be just as upset as she is in a game.
When you look at your stats on the roster here, you've got five hitters with six or more home runs. You know, we talk about in baseball all the time that it's become just like it's home runs or strikeouts in baseball. Is that happening in softball as well? Is power a big focus when you go into recruiting, or is it still just about making, you know, moving the runners and being able to have those high batting averages?
I think we've seen a shift the last few years into more power, just with the involvement of not only the bats, but just the athletes are better. They're bigger, faster, stronger, you know, and our ballparks aren't getting any bigger. The fences are still 200 feet down the lines. And that's, I think, you becoming an easier thing for a lot of players to reach just with the sheer amount of technology and training that we have available at our level. And now you can get players who maybe aren't the biggest on the field, but because of the just sheer athleticism, the quick twitch, you know, tools that they're able to have, you can have someone like Kylie Edwards who's going to steal a bunch of bases and hit the ball over the fence. And just that's kind of more our focus in recruiting. It's just the overall athleticism and players that can do a little bit of all of it.
When you sign great players out of the transfer portal, you know, you set a level of expectation. You're like, they're going to come in, that we need them to contribute immediately. With a player like Raelynn Chafin, has she exceeded what you thought you were going to get with her coming into Mississippi State? Has she been better than you thought she was going to be?
I mean, I think she's exactly what we thought we were going to get from her. And I don't think really anybody else thought that, just looking maybe at her numbers and with her being kind of a one-year transfer. But with us, you know, we're big with numbers. We're big on the data and development. But a huge piece of it has to be the mentality and the relationship. And that was the number one thing that stood out to Raelynn, to us this summer about her. And her first phone call with Coach T, our pitching coach, she walked into my office and said, that's the transfer pitcher I want. She said she gets it. Her mindset is exactly what we need. And I think the two of them are just so in line with the way they think and the way they compete that it really was just a perfect fit for us and for her.
What's a non-negotiable in your program?
I think just that level of competitiveness and the intensity. And it just, being able to bring it every single day. Practice. We want practice to be harder than games, and we want them to compete just like they do on the weekends on a Tuesday afternoon.
This weekend coming up. So it's All for Alex weekend. So that's obviously a very emotional weekend here at Mississippi State. It's the number one team in the country coming to play your team. Oh, it just happens to be Texas. And where did you go to college?
Oklahoma.
So, you know, I know coaches are going to be like, well, it's just another game. I know better. I know better. There's a little extra juice for there. Could we have crammed any more emotion into one weekend for you than we have this weekend coming up?
I'm not sure. I think, you know, every weekend's big in this conference. This one, obviously, extra special. And, you know, it's why we played OU the last four seasons, just to be ready for this moment of facing the number one team in the country. You know, if we want to take our program to that level and be at the best, we got to play them. And so we willingly went out of conference to play Oklahoma the last 4 years. Also, the four straight years that they won the national championship. And so now facing Texas, the current number one, you know, feels very similar. And the point of that was so that our team goes in just not afraid and knowing we can compete with them. We've had a lot of good games against OU over the years, and I think that's the goal this weekend against Texas is to play Mississippi State softball. And in a big weekend as well, you know, baseball's on the road, so we're hoping that brings in a lot of fans for us and we can get really good crowds in here. And then on Saturday, when the entire SEC wears teal in honor of Alex Wilcox, and to continue to share not just her story, but just the message of ovarian cancer awareness so that we can help prevent that disease in one more young woman. And it's just, it's a lot. It means a lot to us. And I think, you know, not to be too cliche, but that's what the SEC is, right? Every weekend means a little bit more for us. And I think this weekend just can be another one of those.
If you take this series, what are the odds I'm going to get a horns down out of you?
I better ask, you know, maybe Zach Selman or my administrator if I'm even allowed to do that one. But my players probably will.
I bet Tyler Bratton does it. I'll put the money on that one.
There's no controlling him.
No, absolutely not. You know, long way to go, obviously. But when Neuse Park was built, you know, the hope was that would be a place where regionals would be hosted at some time. So I'll ask the question this way. If your team continues to play the way they've played these first 33 games, will Neuse Park host softball in an NCAA tournament?
If we can continue to do what we're doing and win throughout conference play, I think, you know, we definitely are in the mix to host a regional. And that has been the goal all along. Obviously, you have to take care of the non-conference games as well. And some of those, you know, they can end up hurting you at the end. So we need to make sure that we kind of make up for a couple of those early losses with what we do in SEC play. But for us, you know, I think we ran into it a little bit last year, looking a little bit too much ahead, and we have to be one game at a time, one weekend at a time, and making sure that if that's our end goal, we take care of business, you know, on the Wednesday afternoon in Hattiesburg against Southern Miss before we start looking ahead to Texas, to Tennessee, Missouri, and Oklahoma, who we have coming up next.
Been a real fun team to watch thus far, and I'm looking forward to seeing how much further they can go. Coach Samantha Ricketts, Mississippi State softball, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Always great to talk to Samantha Ricketts. She makes me work, though. Goodness, I asked enough questions to get a 12, 13-minute interview. Woman did it an 8.5. She's a talker. She gets through it pretty quickly. So, huge series this weekend. And, you know, they've got some big ones coming up. Super Bulldog weekend, Mississippi State Ole Miss over at Neuse Park. That's going to get some big crowds. It's going to have some. There's going to be a lot of folks over there. Watching softball when we get to Super Bulldog weekend. Great interview. Always appreciate her time. And that's a fun team to cover. You know, when softball is good, it's good, clean family fun. You got 2 hours on a Saturday, you can go watch a softball game, have a good time. It's enjoyable. They make it family friendly. What can you go wrong? So, all right, we'll wrap things up with you here on a Wednesday evening when we come back. Talk a little football. There's a little taste of football in the air. Let's do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
Hey, Trying to get comfortable here. I don't know what's going on. Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Thanks for tuning in on a Wednesday evening. I really appreciate you guys out there. Appreciate everybody who texted into the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. I appreciate Rhino. I don't know if you hear that enough, Rhino. I appreciate you.
Thanks.
Everybody needs that little boost sometimes. So, yeah, you got someone you love in your life, just tell them you love them. I don't have anything wrong with me. I'm just telling you all that. No one's passed away or anything. We're all good. I feel like sometimes nowadays when somebody gives you a positive message, you're like, is everything okay? Are you all right? Like, yeah, sometimes it's okay to still be a little positive every now and then. Are we positive about Mississippi State football? Sorry, quick 180 there. I don't know. I don't know. I feel offensively they'll be okay. I feel like this team could be a little bit more. If you remember last year, I talked about this team and I said, look, offensively they're going to be good, defensively they're going to be bad, and they'll just have to win some shootouts. And I thought that could happen. I didn't count on two things. One, I didn't count on Blake Shapen getting hurt and the offense not being very good at stretches. But two, I also, when I said the defense was going to be bad, I didn't know it was going to be that bad. It was way, way worse than I thought it was going to be. A lot of people called me out and they were like, you said this defense was going to be bad. Why are you surprised? They were worse than I thought. They were way, way, way worse than I thought they would be. So when I look at what they have defensively this year, I feel like the depth is there. They've got more depth. They've got SEC caliber players on that defense. They didn't have enough last year. They did not have enough. I would tell you that at the safety position and at the linebacker position, State is good. That they have good quality SEC depth there. On the defensive line, they've got some SEC players there. They've got more than they had a season ago. At cornerback, they got issues. They got real issues. The question I have is this, is do you have the difference makers? Is there a guy that can go out and get you 7 or 8 sacks on that defensive line? Is there a cornerback who can pick off 4 or 5 passes and the other guy on can get a couple as well? I don't know if that's the case for Mississippi State. You know, I like the defensive line guys they brought in. I like Will Whitson. I like Nevaeh Sanders. I think I pronounced that correctly. I like Red Hibbler. I think those are quality additions. But I'm not asking them to beat Jeff Simmons or Fletcher Cox or Chris Jones, but is there a Josh Boyd in there? Is there a Denico Autry in there? Is there a Preston Smith in there? I don't know. And so it may just be a situation where State this year kind of looks the same way. That they improve. This is the thing we're going to have to all wrap our minds around over the coming months, is that you can improve and still not be good. State's defense last year was one of the worst in SEC history. And I've said this before, the gap in total defense between State, who was 16th, and Florida, who was 15th, is the same gap as Florida, who was 15th, and Ole Miss, who was 3rd. That's a big gap, in case you're wondering. So State could be a lot better and still not be good. If you tell me at the end of the year that State finished 10th in total defense, 11th in total defense, they might have gone to a bowl game. They really might have. But if they don't, if they're still in that 13, 14, 15 range or 16 again, then no, they have no chance. And the margins are pretty fine there, but we'll see. What about Stonka? I think Stonka will be a big-time player for State in that safety room. State's safety room looks good with Isaac Smith, bringing in Tony Mitchell from EMCC, but he was at Alabama before that. He's one of those JUCO guys who's played Power 5 football. Jabron Manning, the transfer from Old Dominion, that's a big-time player. And then Stonka, super athlete, I think he's got a chance to be a star. I'm interested to see how much they use him on both sides of the ball. You know, they're talking about playing them offense and defense. I don't know. I hope they can do that. We're positive the Dogs will play football. That will happen. Barring the end of the world, when we get to Labor Day weekend, Mississippi State will travel to Southern Mississippi to play the Golden Eagles in week one. That will occur. We're positive about that. So, It's all about difference makers, guys. You know, you think about State's good defense through the years, they had NFL quality players, not just SEC quality players, NFL quality players. How many of those are on State's lineup right now? I don't know. And watching them practice in the spring doesn't give me that answer. We're going to have to wait and see. So if somebody is telling you with authority, if they're saying, you know, oh, this defense is much improved, they're projecting. They are hoping. I will not say anything about, much as I have with this baseball team, I've been waiting them out. I'm going to do the same thing. State goes down to USM and wins 48-7. We're fine. State wins 31-24. Going to be a long year. We'll worry about that when we get there. Appreciate you guys tuning in on a Wednesday evening. Now you've got a lot. You have a lot of options in Mississippi State sports, and I'm glad you decided to spend it with me. For Rhino, down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.